June to speak slowly and clearly for the interpreters.
Thank you, everyone. Firstly, I'd like to welcome you to our at-large capacity building working group. It's been our last meeting was through a telephone conference. It's really good to see most of you in person. And before we do that, I'd just like to introduce physically the steering committee, just so that you can put a face to the name in case this is your first ICANN meeting and you haven't seen them yet. So perhaps I'll get them to introduce themselves. Tijani, please.
My name is Tijani Benjima. I am a member of the steering committee of the Capacity Building Working Group. I am from Afralo.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Devananti Luxing. I'm on the Capacity Building Steering Committee, and I'm from Lakralo.
And I've been told that one of our other members of the steering committee, Carlos Aguera, is probably in the GNSO meeting, and he's not here. But there are four of us in the steering committee, and it's a privilege to serve alongside our colleagues, members of the working group. And if we could just have a quick show of hands if you're here, just to get a feel of who's here and who's not here. Would you like to quickly introduce yourself?
Hi, good morning. My name is Satish Babu. I'm from the Computer Society of India and part of the Capacity Building Work Group.
I'm Lu Ji, come from the ISAC Taipei, and we also come from the Aviraro. Yeah, thanks.
Hi, I am Adela Danciu. I am a member of this working group, and I am from Euralo.
Yeah. Hi, this is Nirmol. I am a member of ISVK India. I am a member of this working group on capacity building.
Hi, Pavan Badrani, AP Rala Secretariat, just listening in and taking notes.
Siva Subramanian Muthuswamy from ISOC India, Chennai ALS.
Hi, I am Oksana Prikhodko, URL secretary, member of this working group.
Yalvi and Fatim.
Yalvi Atun, Alaka Falo, member of this working group.
Hello, this is Fatima from Lakralo.
This is really excellent. Salnieta Tamanikomoro, chair of the working group. This is really excellent to put the names to the faces. There have been a flurry of emails that have been going back and forth. You'd have noticed people commenting on the wiki, and it's always good to see the face behind the name. Very quickly, the at-large capacity building is... we have been mandated by the ALAC to come up with and devise strategies for greater capacity building efforts from the grassroots up. And we have been functional since...
Toronto.
We've been functional since Toronto, although the advocacy has preceded Toronto. And it's really good to have the support of the ALAC, the whole of the ALAC, particularly the ALAC chair in relation to capacity building. And whilst we're in capacity building, for the benefit of those who've just joined us, in case they're not in the working group, not too familiar with the work that we're doing, one of the things we're looking to do particularly is looking at and examining how to strengthen capacity within the at-large community. So our focus is solely restricted to the at-large community, and I'd like to make the distinction between at-large and the ICANN Academy, which is for all, as opposed to at-large capacity building, which is looking into initiatives for at large. And when we say at large, within the same breath, we think of the RALOs, regional at large organizations, representatives who are present this morning. We also think of at large accredited structures, accredited at large structures, ALSs, many of whom are present. And it's really good to see you all today and to see you this week. And as you can imagine, it's one thing to attend a meeting physically. It's one thing to be a recipient of a mailing list. It's quite another thing to be participating within the various policy forums, within the various policy mechanisms within this institution called ICANN. And as a capacity building working group, our task is to look at some of the issues, some of the challenges that our ALSs and that our RALOs go through, and to identify how we can, and also knowing that, not only knowing that, but also bridging the gap between that and the world of ICANN. And it's more than just communication. It's more than just sending links and asking for comments, but it's building and enhancing people's understanding of the core issues. And it's really exciting to work with a bunch of dynamic individuals from across the RALOs. The RALOs are very well represented, and it's been really good to see a lot of the ideas coming up. But before we do that, I'll just very quickly run through some of the things that we've been developing, and I'll give it to Dev and to Tijani, our steering committee, to give their remarks in relation to some of the work that we've been doing. Very quickly, one of the things that we'd started off doing as a working group was we wanted to survey the terrain. And surveying the terrain, we wanted to know who the ALSs were. So more than looking at dashboards, who the ALSs are, what are they about, what are their concerns, who are their contact points. And also one of the things that we started creating was a spreadsheet. And I'm just going to ask Matt if he can pull it up, the spreadsheet. And within this particular spreadsheet, one of the things that we were looking at was we were looking at the countries in which these ALSs are positioned. And you'll notice that on one of the, and Devanand Tilak Singh, who originally pioneered the work in developing the framework for the spreadsheet, and the community of particularly the members of the working group have been building upon it. And one of the things that we were doing was looking at which countries these ALSs are in, whether those countries have CCTLD operators that are part of the CCNSO, that sort of thing, and what type of, and various other indicators. Why did we want to go into this level of detail? One of the reasons why we wanted to go into this level of detail was if we're going to look and explore synergies within the community of how to better bring our resources together so that we can lessen our cost, but at the same time achieve mutual objectives, we need to know what our terrain is. For the simple reason that some of our ALS members are also, in some instances, CCTLD operators. For example, ISOC Armenian. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong later on. But just before we go further, I'll give this time to Dev and Tijani, please.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Sala. Devanand Tilak Singh speaking. And one of the things that we are also looking at is, as part of the capacity building working group, is the how to reach the users within the within our at-large structures. In a survey in 2010, when we conducted the at-large structure survey, one of the things we found out was that, given the period between the short period between ICANN public comment period, which is like 30 days typically, and the time it takes for information about this public comment being launched, getting feedback from the VLOs and from the ALS representatives, who in turn are supposed to be as well getting sending the information down to within their at-large structure, and then bringing that back up to the ALS representative, bringing that to the VLO, then bringing that up to the ALAC, or which is a working group. And one of the challenges was that because most at-large structures, they don't really meet. Sometimes they don't meet, you know, face-to-face within 30 days. So it's very hard for at-large structures to really assimilate all of this information and to give meaningful feedback within the time frame. And one of the ideas was to try, as part of the social media strategy, given that a lot of the at-large structures, their members are on social media networks such as Facebook and Twitter, the idea was that the at-large should come up with a social media strategy, and this was set up from the technology task force side of things in terms of the technology to do it, so that whenever we put up content on our at-large wiki, it is circulated to the Facebook and Twitter accounts for the ICANN at-large Twitter social media accounts. So that technology is done. The next step is now to populate that with content, so that when it's shared not only within the at-large structure, but also to other persons or friends persons who are subscribed to that ALS Facebook page or Twitter feed or whatever, they can learn from it, and hopefully the idea is to bring more persons into it. Okay, I kind of understand what this is about. I have something to say and get involved, and that way we build capacity. So it's not just the sole ALS representative trying to do everything at once. So that's it.
Tijani speaking for the transcript. I think that Sala did well when she highlighted the difference between the scope of this working group and the scope of the ICANN Academy. The scope of this working group is only at large, while the ICANN Academy is for the whole ICANN. How does it work? In ICANN, each constituency or some of the constituencies have capacity building working groups that are looking after the need of the constituency in terms of learning, capacity building, and define the time, the tool to be used for this effort of capacity building. ICANN Academy, when it will be working, because it is still under construction, when it will be working, will be the one who will implement any effort of learning in ICANN, including the capacity building for at large. So this is because we cannot do duplicate efforts. If the ICANN Academy make effort in the learning for the ICANN, we cannot have constituency or another party who is in charge also in implementing capacity building. So the capacity building will have. The working group will define the need, the content, the time, and the tools to be used. One of the tools Dev just spoke about is the social media. There is also the online platform for capacity building, which is now be developed by someone in ICANN named Matthew. And normally Matthew must be among us because he's here. Very good. So this is another tool to be used. For sure, there is the face-to-face capacity building. There is other ways. We can even make virtual capacity building by email, by a webinar. A lot of tools to be used. So I wanted here to try to define how not to duplicate efforts. Matthew will be in charge of one kind of tool. Other will be in charge of other tools. But who will use those tools? Normally, it is the ICANN Academy when it will be in the phase of working. That's all.
Just we'll be taking comments just before we wrap up this particular session. But just very quickly, just riding on what Tijani had mentioned, there are various methodologies in relation to the kind of tools, the kind of outreach tools. For those of you who were present at the previous call, you would have noted that one of the action items that we've got is to liaise with our various RALOs and the various ALSs on what they want, one, on what issues, what policy issues concern them, what are they interested in learning, and we can also throw in what kind of tool. And just very quickly, I'd like to say that at some point this week, we will be setting aside an hour for an operational meeting, because we note that this we can't really go into a lot of operational things, particularly things pertaining to the work that the working group does. And we'll be ironing out a lot of those issues. And very quickly, just before we get Matthew to be speaking to us on one of those tools, I'd just like us to have a look at that PowerPoint. Can you see? You'll see the projection rates. You'll see the various penetration rates as per the dashboard. That's the latest spreadsheet. And it shows the different penetration rates of the ALSs via the various regions. It even shows your growth rate from when it first started till now, 2013. You'll see there's a decline. One of the years, it was a sharp increase. And so hopefully at some point this week when we have our operational meeting, we'll be digging into that in detail. But just before we wrap up, I'll just dedicate 5 minutes just to hear from the floor. Members of our working group have comments. And I'd like to ask you to keep it brief, short, sharp, and sweet. Thanks, Siva.
Yeah, I'm Siva Subramaniam from ISOC India Chennai ALS. Just a quick comment on what Dajani said, that ICANN Academy Working Group will be looking at the implementation of all capacity building within ICANN. But apart from doing that, it has been conceptualizing on ICANN-wide capacity building, whereas this working group is only conceptualizing at large-wide capacity building. So a subset of what ICANN Academy Working Group is doing in the area of conceptualization, this working group is doing. So I just want you to make a note of this subtlety. No specific suggestions, but just an observation.
Thank you, Siva. We'll take that point, and we'll come back to it later.
This is Satish Babu from Asia-Pacific. I'd like to suggest that if you're actually planning to strategize on capacity building, we might want to consider the differences among the ALSs. For instance, there are ALSs which are new generation, for example, ISOC, and there are ALSs which are traditional or legacy, like the one I come from, which is founded in 1965, in a totally different world, which perhaps carries a lot of baggage and is not fine-tuned towards the realities of an internet-based world. Now, if you're going to plan strategies for capacity building across the board, this nuance of the traditional organizations vis-a-vis the new generation organizations, the relative strengths and weaknesses should perhaps be taken into account, because there's going to be a difference in the way these organizations can absorb. Thank you.
Satish. Please.
This is Garth Bruin, Chair of Neuralis. Sorry I wasn't here when the introductions were going around. In Nerala, we have a subcommittee for outreach and recruitment, and we are actually meeting right here in this room tomorrow at 7:30. I know there's a conflict with an AP Rallo event, and some of you may be waiting in line to get your gala tickets tomorrow. But if you're not conflicted by either one of those, we'd love to have you come and see what we're working on. Thank you.
That's really excellent, Garth. And just to very quickly follow up on that, it's really good to see the Rallos being very active in this regard. We also heard of the survey being done by Fatima. Thank you, Fatima, for sharing it with the working group. It will be posted on the wiki shortly in terms of the survey in relation to the needs of your community. And I'd like to encourage people, if you're not doing anything, that'll be very good to attend what Garth has just invited us to. Oksana, please.
Thank you, Oksana, for the record. We are talking just now only on institutional level of capacity building. I am more interested on personal level, and as you, Sala, said, it's very interesting to see faces behind names and nicks. I proposed this approach from the very beginning, but we met the problem of privacy. So how we can avoid this problem? Maybe we can create contact points with these contact details, and anybody who would like to receive information on Diplo Foundation, for example, students from my country, of EuroSeek graduates from my country, but without breaking privacy limits, can contact the secretariat maybe, or maybe staff, and ask for contact details. Thank you.
That's an excellent point by Oksana. For those who may not understand the context within where that comment was coming from, one of the challenges that the working group encountered was when we were asking for contact points for certain ALSs from a certain RALO, which will remain unnamed, we were told that there are privacy issues and that sort of thing. Anyway, next. Just very quickly before we wrap up feedback from the floor, before we ask Matthew to please address us on the very exciting ICANN online platform. Oh, I see. Glenn's got something to share. I'll let Glenn go first.
Okay.
Go, Glenn.
Hi, Glenn McKnight. I'm with Norello as well, with Garth. I'm also on the outreach committee for NOMCOM, and I can share with you as any committee, whether it's us at large or NOMCOM or anything else, the difficulty is getting to the end users, especially marginal groups, and convincing them on the merit to get involved with what we're doing. It's a huge commitment. It takes a fair amount of effort, whether it's social media or other methodologies. I think it's a real challenge. The left-hand side there, you had stats on how many ALSs, and you can see it's very difficult to get them engaged. And second of all, there's a lot of numbers of people that are on the list, but they're not active. So we not only want to increase our numbers, but we want people to come and join us and actually do something, to actually be on a working group and contribute. It's not good enough to sign them up. You have to find people who see the value in what we're doing and how it could benefit themselves as well as their own constituency.
That's really excellent, Glenn, and we're really privileged to have experts who have been facilitating globally, particularly online platforms. Adela Danchu, who's done a lot of work in terms of online platforms and coordinating, and not just presenting the information, but how do you come alongside people and partner with them, and how do you nurture that experience and help them to be part of the greater ICANN experience in a meaningful way. And the last comment, just before we get Matthew to start speaking to us, is one of the issues that we've had in terms of sourcing information, particularly in the context of having our database, is you would have noticed that there was feedback from Naralo, there's feedback from Lakralo, there was feedback from AP Rallo in relation to some of the incorrect information that's on the dashboard. Now, that for me is worrying on a whole bunch of levels. Human mistakes and human errors are expected. That's part of living in a real world. but it also it's also an indicator of, is the information literally reaching the runners, or did it go to some some lost mailbox or some non-existent mailbox? I know for a fact that one of the ALS's contact details does not work. So these are issues for RALOs to deal with, and I hope Garth and other heads of RALOs, it's not just targeting one RALO, by the way, it was my RALO, not just targeting one RALO or just singling out, it's not so much that, but it'll take a collective effort to actually get our things in order, our house in order, in order to address the issue of capacity building. And with that, I'm absolutely delighted to introduce Matthew Shears, who's an external consultant for ICANN, and he'll be speaking to us on online education platform. He has vast experience with ISOC platforms, e-learning platforms, and Matthew Shears, welcome.
Thank you, Sarah. It's a pleasure to be here. Before I jump into the online education platform, let me just say that doing this kind of thing for ICANN is only one of my activities. I was actually the public policy director for ISOC, and that's how some of you may know me. And I was one of the architects of the ISOC Next Generation Leaders e-learning program, one of the content creators and also one of the mentors to some of you may have gone through that program, and we may know each other by name, but not necessarily by face. So anyway, it was if that's the case, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you. So, yes, I'm a consultant with ICANN. I'm working very closely with Denise Michel and with Chris Gift on this particular project. It's the online education platform. And just a little bit of background. So Denise came to me about 2.5 months ago and said, there is a recognized need within the ICANN community to address some fundamental educational needs, basic education material about ICANN for the entire community and for the public. So how do you bring together the materials, that the wealth of materials that exist on the ICANN website at the moment and across the community websites, and how do you put that information in a format that makes it easily accessible to all, and how that information can actually be constructed into learning tracks. So if you wanted to have a track on internet governance, or a track on how to manage a meeting, or a track on how the DNS works, then these are the kind of things that these fundamental knowledge areas that the online education platform will try to address. So if we could have the next slide, please. Sorry. If I'm going too fast, please tell me. I only have about five or six slides, so, and then I'm happy to discuss further. And that's really the purpose for me being here in Beijing, is to get feedback, get input, understand what the needs of the community are. So there are two very important points about this platform. First, and this came across very strongly in our discussions with Fadi and with others. First of all, it's a platform for engagement and development. It's a tool for the ICANN community to use. The idea is, if it's possible to build further, better and more in-depth and more professional engagement within the community, and also with the community with the outside world, and also a development tool in terms of developing the skills and the knowledge areas of those in the community, but also a development tool for building the community and bringing more people into the ICANN community as a whole. I recognize in some of my conversations with some of you that there have been some concerns about, you know, what the role of the OEP will be. It's, as it says up there, it's intended to complement and support related learning activities and projects, whether they be ones that are underway at the moment or whether they be future initiatives. And the idea of the platform is to make it flexible, scalable, and open, so that it can evolve to accommodate the needs of the communities as they grow and the needs of ICANN staff and the board, et cetera, et cetera. Can I have the next slide, please? So what is it? As I said, it's scalable, flexible platform. So it's an infrastructure, if you will. It will provide a structure for the creation and delivery of content across the community and beyond, help to drive the quality and quantity of ICANN engagement, community building, and a range of other objectives. It'll build staff, board, and community knowledge, skills, and expertise for the benefit of ICANN and the internet governance space generally, and the general public in terms of how they understand ICANN and the role it has. It'll educate and inform about ICANN's function and the role in the internet ecosystem. It'll build a common and coherent understanding among stakeholders about ICANN, the internet ecosystem, and internet governance. And it'll comprise a growing knowledge bank of information on ICANN that's accessible to the ICANN community and beyond. What we're talking about here is first and foremost, building a common set of knowledge modules, incorporating content that at this point in time has been largely created and that is available on the ICANN website, putting it in a format that will make it easily accessible and putting it in a place that will make it easily findable, so to speak. So the idea really is to build something that can evolve with time, that can accommodate the needs of the community, that can support and act as a platform for other initiatives, and hopefully in that way it will account for how the community and the stakeholder groupings evolve and what the needs of ICANN are in the future. Go to the next slide, please. So what does it comprise? Well, we've already touched on this a little bit, but a core of knowledge modules, which is the content, primarily in the first place built from existing materials, but as the program evolves, hopefully it will incorporate a significant range of new materials, used to inform about ICANN, to contribute to onboarding, to training. Somebody mentioned about individual training as much as institutional training, and this kind of covers on both areas. We're anticipating it to be accessed through a personalized portal that would leverage MyICANN, which is the place where many of the initiatives in ICANN are being brought together. We very much see this as a kind of a portal in which you can access not only to just browse information about ICANN, but also to follow specific tracks. So if you're interested in knowing more about the DNS, you follow one particular track. If you're interested in knowing about IPv6, you'll have another track. And each one of those tracks will comprise a whole set of content that will be easily accessible and logically laid out so that it's easy to follow in terms of the flow and the learning experience. The platform will also be a workspace for content collaboration and creation, and this is very important. So as the needs of the community evolve and as the needs for more thematic or functional areas of knowledge grow, then parts of the community can come together on the platform and build those knowledge areas and build those tracks. And it'll also be a training environment. So eventually you might anticipate that there'll be a set of trainings where on a particular issue where there might be quizzes, there might be assessments and things like that. This is all capabilities that can evolve within this kind of a platform. Have the next slide, please. So the knowledge modules, so what are they? They will comprise operational, thematic, or functional content in a variety of media. If you go across the ICANN site right now, you've got an incredible diversity and wealth of information that's hard to find in multiple different places, at times difficult to access. So the first phases of this program anticipate using that material, consolidating that material into these base knowledge modules, if you will, and using those as a basis for the first stages of the program. The modules will have, because we're talking about a learning environment, the modules will have a common structure so that the learning environment is coherent, hopefully seamless, and as familiar as possible. So when you go into the OEP, you'll actually see that there'll be a common set of module structures that you go through to access the information. And certain criteria will have to be established for putting content into those modules. The first set of modules we anticipate being just about the basic common understanding of what ICANN's history is, what its purpose is, how it functions, what its role is in the internet ecosystem. Information that may be very familiar to some of you, but information that's not familiar to many others. And hopefully this project will allow everybody who comes into the ICANN community to have access to a series of content modules that will give them a kind of basic understanding of what ICANN is about, what it does, that will hopefully enable them to have a, you know, ever more productive engagement with the rest of the community. And as I mentioned, further modules can be created on a range of issues, issue areas for educational purposes, pretty much anything you can imagine. For example, yesterday I was in the newcomer track, just listening to what newcomers are being exposed to. And what it became clear is that it would be incredibly useful to have, for example, on this kind of a platform, a whole set of modules related to regional interests, so that if somebody comes, so that if a newcomer comes from a particular region, they can go on the platform and they might see, for example, who are the ICANN individuals responsible for whatever subjects in that region. What are the issues that are relevant to ICANN in that region? Who are the people within the ICANN community on the board, on the GAC, and the different SOs and ACs who are from that region? Who are the contact points? So you can imagine that these people, before they even come to an ICANN meeting, might actually be encouraged to go into this kind of a platform and say, here's a track on the region. This covers a whole range of issues that will be interesting and relevant, and you know, we recommend that you look at this track of modules before you come to the meeting, because that'll make your engagement all the more useful. So you can imagine if you can think almost endlessly about the opportunities for training and learning using this kind of a structure. Can I have the next slide, please? Okay, so this is a very high-level illustration of how you would access these kind of modules. So if you can imagine, you'd go into the OEP through MyICANN. You'd say, okay, I want to, let's say I'm a relative newcomer to ICANN. I want to understand what ICANN does, what are its various functions. And I'm particularly interested in the new GTLDs, which I've heard a lot about, and it's a bit confusing. I need to know more about it. So you'd typically go into a set of modules on the functions. You'd then look for the modules related to domain names. You go to GTLDs. You go to new GTLDs. And related to that, there'd be a whole set of modules on the various issues related to GTLDs. So a kind of, if you will, a learning system that's very deliberate and very logical in terms of its thematic flow. And the final, after going through all these and understanding more about GTLDs, you might come to the last module, which would actually say, here's where you go from here. Here's further reading. Here are the people you need to talk to in the ICANN community who are involved in this space. Here are other relevant associated modules which you may not have thought about and what you should go read. So this is a very high level, very simplified, kind of give you an idea of what the structure might be and how that would work. And if you can imagine, this would be a similar structure for a whole range of different issues across ICANN. And this only lists some obviously simplified high-level buckets, but you can imagine that the modules would be a significant number of them. The idea would also to make sure that the modules are bite-sized, so to speak. In other words, you don't have to sit down for 2.5 hours and read an incredibly long and complicated PDF, but rather you can access the system, go through a couple of modules, get it really so that you're understanding it, but it's not taking a huge amount of time. Go out of the system, go back in later and pick it up again. So it's very accessible, it's not time-consuming, and the information will hopefully be impactful and rewarding. We'll go to the next slide, please. So this looks a bit confusing, but it's deliberately so. So if you see all the numbered boxes, you can imagine those as modules within which there will be this content. So when you go through MyICANN, which is on the left-hand side there, and let's just say that you want to browse about the DNS. So you'll put in the DNS, and you'll get a whole range of modules that will tell you, well, this is this module to access the DNS on this, et cetera, et cetera. But let's say that somebody's new to ICANN. Let's say that they want to get a little bit more information. Let's say they're a new staff person and their manager thinks, well, they've got this particular function within ICANN, so they need to be looking at these particular modules for their onboarding. Let's say it's a new member to the ALAC community. They have a particular interest in what ICANN does in one space. So maybe somebody would recommend a set of modules for them to look at. So it facilitates onboarding for new persons coming to the community as much as it does for people who are in the community and want to know about materials or areas they may not know about, even though they may have a good awareness of what ICANN is. Another track may be training. So you can imagine that there will be a set of quizzes or possibly even a form of certification for training in an area. So, I mean, it's just off, you know, think about, for example, internet governance. As ICANN have, you know, ICANN could have an internet governance certification track where you take 10 or 15 modules, you have these little quizzes, and at the end you may get a certificate. And so the beauty of these modules is it allows you to set up tracks, thematic tracks or functional tracks or training tracks, no matter what kind of interest area you have, for so long as the modules are there. And I'll come to the creation of modules in a minute. And also you can imagine, again, with this kind of a platform, that you could have a skills building modules as well. So how to run a meeting, how to be a chair. You know, there are some fundamental skills that are very important within the ICANN community that, again, if you're looking for, you've just been appointed to some position or whatever, again, there may be modules that would address those particular concerns that you may have in terms of, you know, how to manage a meeting or whatever. So those are samples of some of the kind of core areas that you can envision this kind of platform assisting in, like an open platform just to browse, onboarding for new people to ICANN, training or skill building. But the range of different kind of tracks that you can have is pretty limitless. It's really dependent upon the content that's being inputted into the system. Could I have the next slide, please? So where are we at the moment? This is still early stages in this pilot. We're still fact-finding, which is obviously why I'm here, and to kind of share with you where we are. So I'm here, and I'm talking to and presenting to almost most of the communities here at ICANN, so talking to a lot of people individually, getting a lot of feedback. I'm happy to talk to anybody individually, you know, outside of this meeting or whatever. You know, the real purpose here is to understand what the needs are, what the content should be and what the approaches should be. We're really also interested in understanding what the complementarities are and what the synergies are and how this platform could support other existing and planned activities such as the Academy. And we're talking to other organizations, so talking to ISOC and Diplo and others to understand how they've built their systems and what the learnings are from that. We're also in the process of evaluating learning management systems because obviously there needs to be a platform. It can't be a platform that is in beta. It needs to be a stable platform for it to work seamlessly. There seems to be a commitment at this point in time to an off-the-shelf type of approach, so rather than ICANN trying to build it itself. The challenge here is that this kind of a system that is required is actually a mixture of both e-learning systems for universities and kind of classic e-learning systems for corporations. And there are some companies out there who provide those kind of platforms. There are some very distinct requirements, of course. One is that it should be able to support multilingual content, obviously a key element. It also has to be a system that's very aware of the bandwidth limitations that there are in different parts of the world in terms of accessing different kinds of content. It has to be a very flexible system. So there's a whole set of requirements, and it also obviously has to be able to work with existing IT systems, with the website, with MyICANN, and be integrated into those. We're also assessing what the resource requirements might be. You know, what are the financial implications? What are the personnel implications? You can imagine, should this take off and be approved, that the number of modules will be significant. The modules will most likely need curating. Having content modules that will require updating. So that's a commitment. It requires somebody saying, excuse me, you wrote this module, but you need to update it. It's been 3 or 6 months or whatever. So, you know, when you start to look at this, it has a huge range of implications. So the commitment at this point in time is to deliver a business plan for the pilot by the end of April. For a planned pilot beta launch in Durban, using a very limited set of modules and tracks, building on existing content, and that's basically to hopefully give the community a sense of how this might work, to get some feedback on how it works, to show a diversity of tracks and a diversity of content, leveraging the information that is existing on the ICANN website. So this is obviously a tool, as has been mentioned. It's a tool that can be used in conjunction with and support of existing or other or even future e-learning programs. It's really something that, it's a real commitment for the community to build something like this and for the community to contribute to it, to create content for it, and hopefully for it to be a place that can provide a good fundamental understanding of what ICANN does for everybody within the ICANN community, and also to facilitate access from the public to ICANN information. So I think I've touched on most of the points. Maybe I'll close it there and take questions or thoughts.
Thank you, Matthew. Before my comments on Matthew's exposé, Matthew's presentation, I would like to comment on what our colleague from APRALU said. It's sure that the ALSs are not equal. We have in each region very difference between ALSs, and the content and the way to do the capacity building will be done according to the input that you will give through the survey we intend to do. So nobody will. It is not Sala or me or Dev who will decide on what will be done in the as capacity building for the each region or each ALS. It will be you who will give this information. Coming back now to the platform. I want it to be very clear that the platform is not dedicated to a specific or to specific and plural specific operation of capacity building. It will be a general outreach and capacity building tool. Even if you never heard about ICANN and you go to my ICANN, you enter this platform, you will have the first layer who will fundamental information about ICANN, about what ICANN do, and you can go through it, you can walk through it. If those information are obvious for you, you go to the second layer and so on, till the layer where you find the information you are looking for. But Matthew assured us, committed that this platform will also give the opportunity to the trainers to upload their content if we have a specific operation of capacity building, and it will be done in a friendly to user manner so that the learners will be familiar with it. It will not be difficult to use. This is said, I think that it is an important, very important tool, because out of our effort of capacity building, we need also anyone who wants to come to ICANN, before coming, get in and try to understand at least the fundamental things before coming in the meeting. And also it will help us, because perhaps people in going through this platform will find difficulties and then will come to us and say, hey, I don't understand this. And in this case, we can build a module of capacity building to overcome those difficulties. Thank you.
Okay. Next we have Sandra in the queue. Sandra. And then Sintra after.
Thank you, Matthew, for this wonderful presentation. It was very interesting to read that, and I hope you will be available for the Academy Working Group later this day as well and give it to us again. At this stage, I have only one question. ICANN developed an outreach strategy, and actually the ICANN Academy Working Group was looking at this outreach strategy where the groups were divided into the groups within ICANN were divided into observers, contributors, leaders, and ambassadors. And this layer system was actually somehow adopted in this academy framework. And I'm just wondering if it is possible to mirror also this layering system of groups in this online platform, or if the framework of an academy will be above, or if it will be an underlying layer. Because I think it's very crucial, because ICANN is so diverse and so difficult to make it for any participant or for any newcomer as easy as possible to know, okay, here I am. I am in the stage of an observer. I am in the stage of a newcomer. I am in the stage of a whatever, and I can go up and stay on my level, whatever. Thank you.
I didn't see you down there. Hi. yes, I'm not sure whether or not that particular four-level structure as I mentioned in the very beginning, we're very much at the beginning of this, and I haven't actually considered how that would fit or whatever. What is certain is, taking the fundamental concept behind what you're saying, is that, yes, you can imagine training tracks for different levels of awareness within ICANN. So, and this is one of the difficulties, of course, sitting in the newcomer session, is because within that hall, you know that there are people who are in the newcomers who have, like myself, a little newcomer, never been to an ICANN meeting before, but have considerable familiarity with ICANN. But there will be others who have no familiarity whatsoever. So it's very important to be able to point people in the right direction in this kind of a platform to account for those differences. So absolutely agree with you. I'm just not, haven't got to the point of thinking about what the terminology or layers are.
Okay. Tijani wants to make a quick intervention, and then to Sintra.
For Sandra, Matthew said that it will be also a way for evaluation and certification. He spoke about certification this morning because I had a meeting with him. So this is the way to point to people at what level they are. If this layer make you at the level of the ambassador or at level of etc. So he doesn't know about perhaps this classification, but he can use it because he has an evaluation system in his platform that can tell you at what level you are. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, just to say that we are running toward the top of the hour, so let's get the feedback and so on. So, Sintra, please go ahead, and then Olivier, you, and actually I think there was Adela and Glenn. Short and sweet, please.
Thank you. Sintra Suknanana, I'm from the Internet Society Trinidad and Tobago chapter, and I'm also a graduate of the NGLE Learning course. With regard to this system, I know you said that there would be constant updating, as required. What does the system also provide a mechanism for, say, hyperlinks where participants can also add content? Because perhaps maybe they are not experts in certain areas, but they are in others.
Go ahead, Matthew, if you want to respond to that.
I think these are great points, but I must emphasize we're still in the kind of fact-finding stages. So just quickly, certainly the platform is capable of putting in quizzes, assessments, certification, but that's that's a number of phases down the road. We're just to be absolutely clear, because we're very early stages here. And to your point, yes, the beauty of this system is that it can accommodate those kind of things. But again, just stepping back a little bit, we're only into this 2 months now, and it's taken time to get to where we are. So we're really still focused on core modules that really talk about the fundamentals about ICANN's history, its purpose, and everything else. So getting to the point where those become a little bit more like the ISOC NGL program, I think is a little bit further down the road. But the capability is certainly there.
Okay, thank you, Matthew. David, I'm speaking. Olivier, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Dave. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc for the transcript record. Matthew, you currently have in front of you the large part of the at-large community that is devoted to work on capacity building, on doing the work that has been spoken about recently in ICANN, but that this community has been working on for quite a while, some people several years. You're currently on a fact-finding mission. Are there any overarching questions, any core questions that you would like to ask from this community, and perhaps not to be answered right away, but answered after this meeting? They're all in front of you here right now.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Olivier. what we want to know is, depending again on where you come into the ICANN community, what do you need to know? It's very easy to say, well, you need to know this, you need to know that. But what we're interested in knowing is, from your perspective, and this very much takes on, in some cases, a regional perspective or even a national perspective, what is important to know? Well, what do you really need to know from the very beginning if you're coming as a newcomer? Because once you've got that familiarity with ICANN, then it becomes a little easier because you can find information yourself or you might be asked to go to different modules. But it's really that first step, understanding what people need from a regional perspective, what information they need so that those tracks can be put in place quickly so that the community can engage and we can get more people into the community. So that would be incredibly helpful.
Thank you, Matthew. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I would like to first of all congratulate and thank you, Matthews, for taking up this initiative. I have been in discussion with Nick Attlee ever since my at-large has been constituted in 2004 to bring out something like this because it helps us in connecting with the end users. I have two questions. One is that once you have done with the first format of your module, will you be taking input from at-large structures? Purely not from a technical perspective or from an intellectual perspective, but from a local perspective, because we understand the end users in our local regions, it might be able to help out in the language and the presentation style, or also to convert it into languages which would be more selling in the local region. For example, I come from a country where we have about 35 spoken written languages and about 250 scripts, but there's certain popular languages. Also, why I say this is because a larger popular part of a population is rural, who's also connecting to the internet, and they would not understand English. They would like to have a very local regional languages. So unless that connectivity happens, all the initiative, though it is such a beautiful initiative, might not just serve the purpose that well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I think in the queue now we have Gart, then Natalia, then Glenn. Okay. Natalia? Okay, that's it.
Just a sec. If Matthew can answer the first question, it would be great. Whether at-large structure would be allowed, would be...
Hi, this is Matt Ashioni from staff. I'm sorry, can you please state your name before speaking?
Yeah, sorry. This is Nirmal from IVS ISVK, India. What I want Matthew to answer is that whether at-large structures' views would be taken before implementing.
Go ahead and quickly answer it, I guess. Sure.
I think logically what you've said is certainly important, and there is an absolute commitment to multilingual content. How far that will go, I think, that's a decision that we're going to have to take down the road. But understand that your points are absolutely right. The closer you get to the community, the more impact they're going to have, and that's absolutely true. So all I can say is right now there is a commitment to multilingual content. How far that's going to go, it's a bit difficult for me to say at this time, but I've taken note.
My question is on first one. I'll just keep it short. My question is only on the first one, whether you will take the comments in English language from ALS. Not.
Yes. Sorry, God. Go ahead.
That's fine. Garth Bruin, Chair of Neuralo. I think it's very important what Matthew mentioned about also providing training for, say, officers, for chairs. I'm only recently the chair of Neuralo. I have an idea of what a chair is supposed to do, no idea what the chair of an ICANN RALO is supposed to do, and of course it's a constant learning process. So I think that will be important training. Thank you.
Thank you. I am Adela Danciu from the Association for Technology and Internet in Euralo. I just want to check my understanding of this whole system. And anyway, I want to congratulate ICANN for this great initiative to provide such a tool for e-learning. But I would like to understand the stage we are in right now with this OEP, because you said that this is targeting a diverse category from ICANN staff to communities, so including at-large communities. So these target members have, as we said, completely different needs and understandings of the whole ICANN system. And are you right now in the stage of collecting inputs from all these stakeholders in order to build the specifications for the platform? Okay, thank you. And that would be the first thing. And the second, you said that it won't be in-house-like built platform, but you are looking for existing e-learning systems. And if the latter is the case, and you confirm, have there been, what is the procedure, the process, the requirements, and how are they going to be presented to the ICANN community? What is the acquiring process of such a platform? Thank you.
Sure. Go ahead.
Both points are absolutely key. And the second one first. We have only just started on this process. Okay. So the challenge is that you have the IT requirements and you have the pedagogical requirements, and so we're trying to get a better sense of how those will work together, given the type of platform that this is, and most importantly, the type of platform in terms of its scalability and flexibility. So that we're still trying to work through those. So yes, those are important, but we're not quite there yet in terms of being able to say this is what it is. Right.
Okay, so basically you are now building the business plan. And if this is the case, what are you going to present by the end of the April, and which will be the module presented for Durban?
There will be modules for Durban. We haven't decided what they will be. Again, this is the issue is...
It will only be like the concept on paper.
No, we hope to have some form of a working model in Durban so that we can get feedback from the users.
Okay, thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
Okay, thank you. This is Dave speaking. Glenn?
Glenn McKnight from Neuralo, as well as ISAW Canada chapter. A few months ago, actually, I think it was back in March, Siva and I actually demoed Moodle. Did you get a chance to see our Moodle project that we did for the Academy? So that's an example of an academic platform that's very popular around the world for this type of thing. When this concept, I think, first appeared, I think the analogy is a ball. It's one uniform concept. It's more of an onion now. You peel it and every there's another layer. I strongly recommend to the platform is that a lot of learning that people get from the ICANN community is informal. It's not in a module. It's not a training package. People are learning from each other. They're learning from an osmosis process. So I think it's very much a mentoring program, which we stressed before a number of months ago again, that individuals develop their own roadmap, academic roadmap, and the best way to help them is to mentor them and help them get into something that they can actually feel confident with. And if they get in a little bit, they get a little deeper, and then you got them.
Sorry, just very briefly. Absolutely agree. This platform does not replace that face-to-face meetings. It does not replace mentoring. It does not replace. This is a complement to it. Okay. So there is absolutely no doubt that absolutely right. Face-to-face, that mentoring aspect is not being changed, or in fact, more of it needs to happen. But this hopefully will provide for the kind of basis for that to happen more fluidly. Thank you.
Okay, Natalia, and I see Yavi has raised his hand, but I also wanted to close it off because although we have some spare time afterwards, I'm mindful of the interpreters who have been working for a while.
Okay, so. And a quick question. This is Natalia Enciso, a LAC member from Lacralo. I want to know if there will be tutors or trainers as in ISOC and DIPRO courses, or will it be an automated system like self-study program?
It can be both. There is absolutely, again, I'm hesitant to say it's one way or another at this stage. Certainly the idea here is that in a very simplified manner, you could have, for example, a manager say to a staff person, you need, for your function, you need to go to these six modules. So that would be a very simplified way of looking at this. Okay. But the system can accommodate anything. So you could have videos within the content module. You can supplement this with face-to-face mentoring. It can be part of a broader program. There aren't limitations. Just because it's an online education platform doesn't necessarily mean it's limited to that, but it needs to be seen in conjunction with other things that ICANN's doing.
Exactly. Okay, Yavi, go ahead.
Thank you, Yavi from ALAC. My comment is about the scope of this program. I would like it to be for at-large because we call it at-large capacity building. Because at the same time, you have many things like you have ICANN Academy. We have also already some tools on ICANN website. So that is very important so that we can hear, as Titani said, we can hear feedback from ALAC, from ALESIS. And then my second comment is, if at least we can have three languages for the system itself, not the content, the system itself, if from the beginning we can have three languages and then also the content in three languages. So this is why I'm saying that we don't have to make it too broader because we have a lot of analysis, that we have a lot of requests from analysis so that we can accommodate the requests. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, everyone. And as probably has been stated in many of these calls, you know, this is not the end of it all. You know, Matthew is here during the week to answer any questions. And, well, I think, Salo, you want to say a few closing words.
First, I'd like to thank Matthew Shears for doing an excellent job. So, everyone, can you give him an applause?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Matthew, for taking your time. I know you're very, very busy. Everyone wants you. And just for speaking to us on the online platform. And I'd like to address the working group in relation to our operational meeting later this week. I've yet to confirm whether... Yes. We'll post let's have it on Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon, if that's okay, 3 p.m. Wednesday, 3 p.m., it'll be an informal meeting where we'll thresh things out. As you would have noted, one of the things that we will have to discuss as a group is we'll have to go into specific things, which will mean I know that you all have been very actively involved in participating in in the working group, but it will mean that you'll be taking on responsibilities in core areas, so things like content, things like platforms, things like methodologies. So we'll need to delegate, spread out and delegate and share the task so we can lighten the load. So there'll be an operational strategy meeting. I'll just ask Heidi to confirm if...
Yeah, just this is Heidi for the record. Wednesday, 3 o'clock actually conflicts with two at-large meetings.
Ouch.
So, okay. Yeah, so if we could maybe just confer a little bit and then we can send some messages out.
So bear that in mind. Thank you, Heidi. So please keep monitoring your mailing list, keep monitoring your emails, and look out for the notice. And this is going to be a very important meeting because there are lots of things, as you can imagine, there are a lot of core issues that we've been ironing out during our conference calls that we can't really get into. But in that particular meeting, you will be going to through it in detail. And on that note, I'd like to acknowledge the presence of the remote participants. I know Juan has been posting online. I hope that when Matthew was responding to some of the questions, that hopefully answered your question as well. And for those who are not yet part of the working group, it's an open working group. So if you feel like this is something that you feel inclined towards, we welcome you to be involved. And we certainly look forward to close collaboration with other stakeholders, other working groups, like those from the outreach and other ICANN staff. And also we thank Matthew again. And Heidi has some quick comments to make.
This is Heidi again. Again, thanks to Gisela, who's listening. She's found a possible time on Wednesday, 11 a.m. That would be only conflicting meeting as the ATRT2, which I don't think I think it's just for the others who are members of the ATRT. So would a Wednesday 11 a.m. be okay?
That's perfect. Are people okay with Wednesday 11 a.m.? Okay. Excellent. So Heidi will post that out to the mailing list, and we look forward to having an excellent operational discussion. And hopefully we'll be ironing out some of the paths forward so that we can get a lot of the work done. Also, I forgot to mention, there's something that Fadi Chahadi mentioned, that they'll be looking for input from the community, and that's the global community. And so some of the work that we've done, even in terms of trend analysis, will be useful to the at-large too in that regard. So with that, I'd like to thank everyone for turning up, those who have been waking up at odd hours, remotely streaming in from all corners of the earth. Thank you for streaming in. And thank you again to all the RALO leaders who are present and RALO representatives and members of the working group, and to Matthew Shears for gracing us with your presence. Thank you, Matthew. And last but not least, thank the interpreters who've been working overtime.
Okay, just the next at-large meeting will be in this room in 45 minutes, and that's the ALAC meeting with the NCSG in this room.